14, 15, and 16. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of the Lord. This morning, and it's good to see you from this position again. It's been a while. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Hey, a couple of big news items that happened in the parsonage this week I wanted to let you know about. First of all, did you know that Tim received his driver's permit on Monday night? Yeah. And the other big thing is that Andy is now officially taller than I am. So there's been a lot of excitement in the parsonage this week. Well, we're continuing this morning the pastor series on sharing the faith. And I bet you can figure out that we're going to be talking about shining of light. That's been a prevalent theme this morning. And the verses that we shared together earlier are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew as spoken by Jesus near the beginning of his ministry and just after he invited the first disciples to follow him. These words are found in a group of sayings that we often refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. The Gospel writer tells us that Jesus' fame had spread far and wide, and many people afflicted with diseases and pains, people possessed by demons, people suffering with epilepsy, and people who were paralyzed, came to Jesus and were healed. We're told that at this point, a great crowd had gathered. They had come from Galilee and from the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and even from beyond the Jordan River to follow Jesus. I can only imagine that they just wanted to see what would happen next. When Jesus saw the crowd, Scripture tells us that he gathered his disciples and he went up on the side of the hill and he sat down and he began to teach. It's during this teaching that Jesus speaks these words, "You are the light of the world." Now, it's said that it was common for the Jews to refer to certain of their eminent rabbis as lamps of the universe or lights of the world. So imagine what they thought of hearing Jesus speak these words in that moment to that crowd. Charles Spurgeon, the well-known British preacher, writes, "It must have sounded very strange to the ears of the religious leaders to hear that same title, with all seriousness, applied to a gathering of bronzed face and rough-handed peasants and fishermen. Yet Jesus gave them this title, not after he had educated them for 3 years, but at almost the outset of his ministry. And from this I gather that the title was given them not so much on account of what they knew as on account of what they were. Not their knowledge, but their character made them the light of the world. They were not yet fully trained in his spiritual school, and yet he said to them, 'You are the light of the world.' The fact being that wherever there is faith in God, there is light. For Jesus said of himself, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" You see, as followers of God, we are appointed to be a lighthouse. We can relate to that imagery, can't we? We're appointed to be a cheering lamp. We're appointed to be a guiding star. And as we strive to live lives of holiness, we are a light in this world, even though our knowledge may be very limited and our experiences still those of a beginner. We must understand that in this text, Jesus is saying something that applies to all of us when we choose to follow him. This is not a message just for the professional clergy among us, but rather a message to all of us who are faithful. Spurgeon so beautifully writes, "You are the light of the world, you humble men and women, whose usefulness will be confined to your cottages or to your workshops, you whose voices will never be heard in the streets, whose speech will only be eloquent in the ears of those who gather by your firesides. You, even you, noiseless and unobserved as your lives will be, you are the true light of the world. Not alone the published whose learned volumes load our shelves, not alone the preachers whose thundering tones startle the nations, or who with busy care for God's glory compass sea and land to find subjects for the kingdom of Jesus, but you, each one of you who are humbly resting upon the Savior and lovingly carrying out your high vocation as the children of God and followers of God's dear Son. You are the light of the world." Let us never forget that light must first be imparted to us, or it can never go forth from us. We are not lights of the world by nature. At best, we are lamps unlit until the Spirit of God comes. The nature of light is to shine. There is no such thing as a light that does not share itself. There is no such thing as self-contained light. Light that originates in a distant star travels light years without getting tired of shining or ceasing to shine. Its nature is to shine. Jesus says that we are lights in the world. We are not self-contained, as Pastor John shared with the children. It is the nature of the child of God to shine the light given to him or her. So I have this t-shirt that I love. It says, let me come over here where you can see it. "Be the moon, reflect the sun." So I just thought that was the coolest t-shirt ever. And I've had it for a long time. And I actually thought it was pretty profound and I was pretty smart. But while I was preparing this sermon, I realized that we are really much better than the moon. As children of God, we don't just reflect the light of God, but we are permeated with the light of God. We're filled with the Spirit of God, and that is what literally radiates from within us. That is the source of our light, Jesus in us. One day on their way home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." The mother said, "Oh, why is that?" And the little girl replied, "Well, she said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" The mother replied, "Yes, that's true, honey." "And she also said that God lives in us. Is that true, Mommy?" Again, the mother replied, "Yes." "Well," said the little girl, "if God is bigger than us and God lives in us, wouldn't God show through?" Out of the mouths of babes, right? American theologian, Southern Presbyterian, and Confederate Army chaplain Robert Louis Dabney told a story of a very worldly-minded attorney in the 19th century who would have nothing to do with Christianity. after years of ungodly living and scorning of Christians, he grew old and went to live with his sister, who happened to be a Christian. Her son was a pastor, and he had opportunity to engage with the old man in conversation about Christ and even recommended some books to him. Sometime later, ill in health, the old attorney asked to confess his faith in Christ publicly. The nephew was eager to get the full story and wondered if his conversation had been the instrument of turning the calloused man's heart to Christ. But as the story unfolded, he discovered that it was not the pastor's words or even the books that he recommended that the man read, but it was the godly life of the pastor's sister, who was still living at home with the old man and her mother. He saw her godliness and radiance as a Christian in every situation, and it caused him to seek the Lord, to know that same relationship to Jesus Christ. The renowned American evangelist D.L. Moody once said, "A Christian is the world's Bible, and some of them need revising." He also said it's a great deal better to live a holy life than to talk about it. We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. The light will be its own witness. Lighthouses don't ring bells and fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Now, I realize that in this sermon, I haven't said a word about saying anything about our faith. Some of you might be thinking, but aren't we supposed to talk about God? And others of you might be sitting there feeling quite relieved and thinking, I've given you a free pass to never say a word to anyone about what God is doing in your life. But sorry, not so. Many places in the scriptures urge us to speak the words of good news. In the scripture attributed to the Apostle Peter, we read, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." But my point today is simply this. Why would anyone ask you this question unless they see something different in you, in who you are and in what you do? Edward Albert Guest, the English-born American poet, came to be known as the people's poet. He penned some 11,000 poems, which were syndicated in over 300 newspapers and collected in more than 20 books. He was named Poet Laureate of Michigan and is the only poet to have ever been awarded this title. I'd like to share one of his poems with you. "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. The best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action. Your tongue too fast may run. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. You are the light of the world. The source of your light is God, made present in you by the Spirit of Christ." Would you agree with me to soak ourselves in the light of God's love? Would you agree with me to do beautiful works for God? Let us agree to shine brightly wherever we are and to support and uphold one another as we let our light shine, so that all may see our good works and give glory to God in heaven. Amen. Amen.